My name is Karagat Warner, the Craft Your Confidence Coach and podcast coach for coaches. I believe that a podcast is a powerful medium for connection and community, and inside every conversation is the potential for transformation. So let's get started on yours. Enjoy the episode. Hey everyone, welcome to another episode of the Craft Your Confidence podcast. So today I have a very special guest. Her name is Tavana, and she's the host of the Breaking Protocol podcast. And she teaches coaches how to fill their one-on-one practices and group programs with stress-free, sold-out launches. Welcome to the podcast, Tavana.
Thank you for having me. I'm so excited for this conversation. Can't wait to see where it leads.
Yeah, me too. So, I love this topic. When it comes to launching, I mean, there's so much that we can unpack here because there's all kinds of ways to launch, right? And so before we kind of dive into some of that conversation, I just gave like a tiny little intro about you, but could you start off by sharing more about what you do as a launch coach? Also, maybe even a little bit about your podcast, because there's so many like wisdom nuggets in your podcast, because I just spent time listening myself and I just love the topics that you're talking about. But talk a little bit about yourself, what you do as a launch coach, because like I said, there are so many ways to do this. And, you know, because as a podcast launch coach myself, a lot of people, you know, come to me to help them with their podcast. So what is it that you do, you know, so from your perspective, how do you help your clients?
Well, thank you for the question. It really started as a bunch of experimentation on myself and in my business. And I really found out for myself that what was working well for me in my business was doing events. I love them. I loved them even before the pandemic. I love gathering people. And so when I realized that every time I host an event of some sort, lots and lots of people would come and I would be excited about it. And so it just made my business so much more fun and so much more easy. And so when I started looking at launches, and actually I used to be a competitive cyclist and my name in my cycling club is The Rocket. How fun is that?
Oh, that is so cool.
Right? So I just realized this idea of being quick, being fast, doing things with explosive power and energy was just in my wheelhouse. And that's how always run my business. I like to do events and gather a lot of excitement and energy around a thing and then take a rest. And that's just how my natural rhythm of working. And so the way that I work with people, specifically coaches and consultants, even people that call themselves mentors, is what we do is we design events, because I found that a lot of coaches have this thought, I hate marketing. I hate talking about me. I hate talking about my stuff. And there's all of this fear around it. And so when we think about my podcast, Breaking Protocol, it's really a spinoff of that. I'm always looking at breaking the rules and how can I do things my way and do them differently, just so that I can enjoy the ride. And that's really how I got into this space of launching. And I do it slightly differently in even where you said with my bio, I help coaches fill their one-on-one practices with a launch, because that's how I did it. And I realized that many people weren't even thinking about doing a launch to fill their one-on-one practices. It was always about, I have to have a course or I have to have a group program in order to launch. But what I found was the traditional ways of marketing, what I call drip marketing, where you're doing all of this activity, but it's very unpredictable and you never know when your next client is coming and you're always at the mercy of your referral sources. And I was like, wait a minute, we can control some of this and we can predict some of this and do the same amount of work, but just in a compacted frame of time and get more predictable results and repeat, rinse and repeat, so that it just becomes this well oiled machine that we can count on. And so I was just looking to solve some of the problems for my business and for some of my clients that I had seen over the years. And that's me in a nutshell.
Yeah. So when you mentioned launching through events, can you give me an example of what an event would look like? What does that mean? Because I think that some of the listeners might be like, what does that mean? There's so many kinds of events. Yeah.
Yeah. So we were talking a little bit about how there are so many different ways that you can launch. And one of the challenges, I think, when coaches in particular try to launch is they're using a launch strategy that is not really suited for the container. And what do I mean by that? Mm-hmm. Most of the time we see, when we think about launching, we think about Jeff Walker. We think about the big wigs, right? And they're usually teaching a 3-part video series, or they're teaching a webinar. And that works well because I'm always thinking about, well, what works for who, when, why, and how. And so those kinds of models work well for people who are doing memberships and courses, because those types of launch strategies are very consumption based. You watch the video, you watch the webinar, they can show you what's happening in the course. But the problem is when you are a coach or a consultant, you are co-creating with your client. And so there is a mismatch between sit here and watch this video or sit here and watch this webinar and then what we do in the container together. So I recommend that coaches and consultants go for a workshop, a masterclass, a 5-day challenge, or a challenge of sorts, because those types of events are co-creative and they more closely resemble the type of container, the type of offer, what the working relationship will be like on the other end. It's more of a natural lead-in. So that's what I realized. And that's
Well, I just want to ask you. So you say, you know, you're talking about this container, and then you're talking about like launching with a masterclass. Could you explain like how does that work? Is it better to do you recommend a launch where you open the doors for, let's say, once a month, or is it one of those things where you have a masterclass going on and you just keep it, you know, open and you just so let's just say a coach wants to bring in 3 consults a week. That was a question that came up today, and you know, Corinne Crabtree's clubhouse room, which you were in, and someone asked that question, and there's lots of ways to do it, right? It's all about experimenting and seeing what works. But from your perspective, like what is it that you think is the best approach to keep something evergreen or to open the doors only like, you know, once a month, once a quarter?
Well, I guess it always depends on what your goals are and where you are in the process. So for example, let me tell you what my definition of a launch is, and then I'll go back to that. So for me, the definition of a launch is where we see the cart open. Class starts at a certain time. The group starts at a certain time. So you're trying to fill something for a specified date. The other definition that I make of a launch is getting a large number of people to take a specified action at one time. So often people say, okay, well, my goal is fully booked. And fully booked means that I have, let's say for ease of math, 10 clients at any given time. And I'm going to work with my clients for, let's say, 3 months. That if you can fill your client roster at one time with the 10 clients, then in your container or the amount of time that you work with them is 3 months, then that means that you want to look at doing a launch about every 3 months, because people will be completing the process with you, or some of them will renew and some of them may not. So it really depends on a number of factors to determine how often you should launch. Now, when you talked about keeping it open all the time, that's what most people are always already doing. So you can keep doing that. I'm not saying it's an either or strategy. When we think about an evergreen launch model, that is something where you have a class and it stays up and you have perfected it to where you just run ads or something you have to run traffic to it, and then it stays there and then it fills your program for you. I think that's a bit more of an intermediate to advanced strategy. And it's like the holy grail. People are like, oh, I want passive income and I want an evergreen funnel and an evergreen launch so I never have to do any work. Like, it all takes work. So if you're listening to this and you're more in the beginner stages, let me clarify something, that the launch process that I teach is for people who have at least a handful of clients. So you've gotten past some of the jitters, you've tested you have some testimonials, you have some clients that you're working with, you know how to sell, you're not afraid to sell, you know what your prices are, you're not typically flip-flopping on prices. If you are in that space, or if you are going to have a group program, launching is for you. If you are in your first, let's say, 5 clients, launching may not, there are always exceptions to the rule, but that may not be where you want to start because there are a number of things that you have to figure out first.
Okay. Yeah. So why do you think that opening your doors for, let's say, a month or once a quarter creates more scarcity than if you were just kind of keeping that funnel open, right? Because there's some schools of thought, you know, with coaches that, you know, you run the Facebook ad and then you run the funnel, you know, you have the funnel and you run people into the funnel. So why do you think, you know, keep opening and closing it creates is like a more effective process?
Well, it depends on what we're running it to, but I think it's more effective to some people because here's the thing about human psychology. If we think that something's available all the time, we'll just be like, I'll get to it. And I'll give you a prime example. I'm from the DC area and I was born a long time ago. And I was born so long ago that I'm still young, y'all. But I was born so long ago that you could still walk and drive in front of the White House. There was no barrier. There were no blockades. And you could, as a regular citizen of the U.S., could just visit the White House. Like, that was a thing. And then all of this stuff happened. And then they put all of these barriers in between our ability to visit. And I'm like, dang it. I should have visited when I had it.
Yeah.
But it was never a priority to me because it was, for me, it was always there. And so I think that's part of the reason why the open closed cart strategy is so effective for some people. Now, I will say this with this caveat. It also, so everything that I'm saying, take it with the caveat of it depends, because there are factors for all of this. I have seen some coaches do the open closed cart for their one-on-one practices or what have you every month. And then they eventually get tuned out as well, because people start to notice the pattern. It's like, oh, every month you're open, and oh, every month you only have 2 spots left. And is that really genuine? And so that's why I look more at, if we can go ahead and fill your roster at one time with one event, then you work with that group of people for 3 months, 6 months, whatever your thing is, and then do do another event so that there is genuine time sensitivity to it.
Yeah. Yeah. That's really interesting that you say that, because, you know, I've been thinking myself about this idea of, instead of doing a quarterly launch, now I've tried all different things, but I thought, well, monthly, because I genuinely, you know, have spots. I only have a few spots open monthly. And so and when you're a one-on-one coach, that's for sure true. It's not like you're trying to say, hey, I, you know, get it while you can. You know what I'm saying? So, but you think that maybe after like every month, they could get tuned out. So, you know, someone might tune you out. So that's a really good point. And then just really making it so that if you're filling that roster at one event that happens every quarter, or every, let's say if your program's every 12 weeks or every, you know, a certain amount of, you know, time, then fill it, then close the doors and then fill it again later.
Well, yes, and you can just, what I'm talking about is the event is the catalyst, is the thing that moves people to action. Whereas if you're just posting on social media every week or how often you're doing it, it's the same thing. People are like, oh, okay, she's posting about her thing again. But what will actually move people to action? And that's where I think rallying or gathering people around an event where you're going to actually help them see what is possible by working with you. Like we talk about adding value ahead of time, and for sure, people can get value ahead of time with your podcast, your newsletters, your posts, wherever you're doing content marketing. But to me, it just takes it to another level. And that's, it's not a or, hear me when I say this, it's an and. So you still want to do those things, but then the event is like, oh, now I really need to move because there is a specific reason for me to engage with the coach.
Hey, just hopping in here really quick to let you know that I have a free masterclass on all things how to podcast. And if you're a coach, a podcast is a beautiful way to coach and teach your potential clients before they ever get on a consult call with you. I know this is true. Because just about every time I get on a call with someone new, I always ask the question, so how did you hear about me? And it's always the podcast. Think of it like doing the job of a consult. It's pretty amazing, right? So in my free class, I show you how to create impact and launch your show powerfully. Because here's the truth. The podcasting space is getting more and more crowded with new shows popping up every day. The good news is podcasting is still growing and has now surpassed radio listening. So now's the time to get in on the game. Creating a podcast is only part of the equation. It's about knowing how to strategically launch your show, starting from episode number one. So you can rise above the noise. And in my free class, I show you exactly how to do this in three steps. To sign up, go to karagottwarner.com, Confident Podcaster. So you spoke earlier about how you break the rules. I want to shift gears a little bit. What do you mean by that? When you say, how do you break the rules? I kept a little note, a little pin in that, because I want to kind of circle back to what is your approach to breaking the rules, Devonna?
So many ways. I think it started for me right when I had my first business before I got my physical therapy license, before I sat for the test, because I had just decided that I was going to be a millionaire by the time I was 30. And so to me, that was the first instance of breaking the rules. Like, who do you think you are? And why do you think you can do that came up. And so that was one instance of breaking the rules. Even in my career as a physical therapist, going off and starting a contracting company and saying, hey, I'm going to tell you when I work. You don't tell me when I'm going to work. And I'm going to leave a company and as an employee and come back as a contractor and make almost double what I was making. And it was just, for me, like really starting to design my life rather than being at the effect of what was going on. And I think that's a very rebel-esque kind of way to be in terms of, okay, well, what really makes me happy? What are my values? What do I want? And then designing from there, making decisions from there. I think those are some of my definitions or examples of breaking protocol and really just, and it's still a process. Like I am still in process with this for myself, but really exploring who am I and what do I enjoy and what do I want, and having compassion for myself and giving myself permission to make mistakes and dream as big as I want to and go as big as I want to. So that's what I think about.
I love that the name of your podcast is Breaking Protocol Podcast, because it's kind of like was a segue to talk about that, like breaking the rules. And also you know, your story is really interesting, right? Because like I was listening to one of your last episodes and you talk about how you kind of went on this journey to like, or maybe you kind of came back home, circled back to, wait a minute, this is what I do. It's always been here. This is like, you know, that comfortable pair of shoes, right? So I love your story when you talk about all the different, you know, phases that you've gone through. And I've heard you also mention how, like, because, you know, you see these coaches that seem to have, you know, all of a sudden overnight, they're making six figures and it doesn't work that way, right? So can you just kind of talk a little bit about your path and your trajectory and how that brought you to where you are now?
Oh, yeah. So many things in what you said there, but I would just say I started out as a multi-level marketing. That was the company that I belonged to when I was like, oh, I'm going to make $1 million. So I learned so many things from that. And then I went into the contracting company because that's what my profession was. And it seemed easier at the time. Actually, what it was more comfortable. And then there was going into coaching, like all of this stuff I'm talking about. This is how I'm going to date myself. I graduated college in 2001. So then I started the contracting company in 2007. I found coaching in 2012, but didn't really know what to do with it. I started a fitness event company for women called So Fit Ladies. And that was in 2012. And then I found the Life Coach School in 2014. And from 2014 to now, 2020 was when I finally hit six figures in my coaching business. I had done it in the contracting company, but hit six figures multiple times in my coaching business, which, like you said, Kara, it's different because people think, oh, you know, look, she's all over the place and she made six figures, but I promise you, it did not happen at all. And all of those things, each one of those experiences I had taught me something that make it so much easier for me to do launches and help people with launches today.
So when was that moment, you know, like you, cause you said, I remember, you were talking to your coach is what you said in the podcast. Like what, maybe was it in that moment when your coach was working with you, or were you just like, you know, did the skies part, you know, the clouds part and you were like, this is it. Like, what was that moment of clarity like?
Oh, I can see it right now in my mind's eye as you asked me. It actually was kind of one of those moments where I was sitting on her couch and we had all of the little whiteboard papers up. And I don't know if I said it or she asked me the question, but the word launch came up because we were talking about, I said, I can do this thing that I'm doing with people for any goal they have in their business. And she was like, yeah, but we needed to be more specific. It's going to, and I coach people on this all the time. It's like being inside the jar and not being able to read the label. I can do it for other people, but I was like, man, I'm having such trouble figuring out what this thing is I'm doing for myself. So she says, it has to be more specific. And I'm like, what is it? And I think she must have said the word launch. And as soon as she said that, it was like in a movie screen across my mind, all of the things that I had launched in my life, a book launch, multiple business launches, multiple launches within my coaching business. Like, I am fascinated about doing big fast. And so I was like, oh my gosh, that's it. And as soon as she said launch, it was like domino down, knocked down the other dominoes. Everything else clicked into place. It made sense. And on the plane on the way back, I started coming up with other ideas. And actually on the plane is when I realized, wait a minute, you can do a launch to fill your one-on-one practice, because that's what I had done the summer before. I filled my group and my one-on-one practice at the same time. And I was like, yes, I'm going to teach this to everybody because it's going to help so many people that are just struggling to build up enough traction and momentum to get the income that they need to keep going. And so that's really what happened. It was that sky opening, like it just clicked. Mm-hmm. But I will say this, there was also the moment of the freak out afterwards. There was the, wait a minute, can I really do this? Can I really teach people what I'm doing? Can I reproduce what I've done in the past? Like all of the doubt, all of the thoughts came up, but I had to remember to stay true to that moment where it just felt so right and it felt so good. That was the indicator. And I think that's one of the challenges that many of us have is you have that moment, and I see the light bulb go off with my clients where it's like, yes, this is it. And then the freak out happens and they're like, but wait, but what about this? And I'm not, you know, who am I to do this? And the imposter syndrome kicks in and nobody's going to pay me for that kicks in. And then I see them retreat and they start changing stuff and they go research and stuff. And then they're like, I don't know, their whole countenance changes and like, this is not going to work. And I need a new strategy and blah, 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 blah. And I'm like, please don't do that to yourself. Please understand that when that freak out occurs, that means you're on to something because that moment, it's like you feel it in the moment, you get excited about it and you just got to lock that in and decide to put the blinders on. So,
yeah, that's like the moment of going pro. I don't know if you've read Stephen Pressfield's, The War of Art. And then the sequel to that is called, Turning Pro. Have you read these books?
I've read I always have to think about it when I say it. The War of Art.
I know, because you get it the other way around. But right? Yeah.
I've read that one. I've not read the sequel.
Yeah. Well, it's like that was your moment of going pro and you knew it. And then the freak out. And I think he even mentions it in the book. It's like the freak out comes. Who am I to do this? And, you know, he talks a lot about resistance in the book. And it's like the same thing, right? So it's like your muse was saying, this is it. It's time to do it. This is my jam. Right. And would you say, I was going to ask you this next question. It sounds like you're already starting to answer it, but like, you know, your clients do this, right? That's the struggle, right? They want to change everything. Would you say that out of the struggles that you often see, is that one of the biggest ones just like, oh, let's turn around and do a different thing?
Oh my God. I call it inconvenient amnesia.
Ah.
Because my mom used to joke me all the time, say, you have that convenient amnesia. You forgot accidentally on purpose what I told you to do. And so I say it's inconvenient amnesia because what I find is either they notice that there's a lot of resistance or there's the retreating is what they do, or they just forget decisions that have already been made. And I will have these deja vu moments where I'm like, wait a minute, what are we talking about here? We already decided this. We already figured this out. This is already the way. And then they want to work on the program some more or do all this stuff in the back end. So I think that is really what I end up coaching people on the most. And you can do it for yourself. If you start looking for new strategies, if you start being frustrated and angry about stuff, and it's like, wait a minute, you were just excited about this very thing. What's happening?
Yeah. I mean, I would say that like, yeah, you can try any launch program you want and decide what you're going to do. But as soon as you want to retreat and you forget your decisions and you forget what you're doing, that's where the coaching, like that's where you come in, Tavana, right? It's like, this is the biggest thing, the mindset piece, right? Because it's like the doubt. It's like, nope, this is what we said. Let's get back to here. Let's get back on track, right? So would you say that, so you said this is the thing that you coach most on.
Yeah, that's the biggest one because people think that is strategy and 100% I'm a strategist. I love it all day. It's easy, but it really doesn't take that long. Like you can knock that out in a day, a half a day, a couple of hours. Like, that is not the hard part. The hard part is sticking with your decisions and believing and trusting that the decision you made is the right one, meaning that it's going to either get the result or it's going to get you in the position to make the next move.
Mm. So when we were talking in the pre-chat, I mentioned, I'm always dropping book names, like, you know, dropping names. So my my show notes writers have to start like linking so many different things. But The Big Leap is a book that I was chatting with you about, because I see this in my clients, I see it in myself. And there's this, so Gay Hendricks wrote this book called The Big Leap, and he talks about this thing called the upper limit problem, right? And it's something that we run up against. And maybe it's not necessarily, it's definitely going to happen in a launch, but like it happens in like, you know, like if we're trying to diet or, you know, do like a weight loss program or a wellness program, like there's this place, this wall that we get to where we sabotage ourselves. Mm-hmm. So when you see this happen, like when you see someone like run up against the upper limit, like their upper limit, how do you address that with your clients?
I mean, I think sometimes it's really just a question of what's going on right now. What are you feeling? And I think for me, that's when I really shift into out of the mental, the logical part, because that's very easy for me to get into the heart space and the emotions and be like, okay, what's going on right now? What are you feeling? And that's when I back in it. It's so interesting, Kara, because that's when I notice people will open up and share times where they were made wrong for things when they were a kid or when they tried to do something, and it's coming up for them now. They are literally freaking out, terrified, in fight or flight freeze mode. And so that's kind of where I go with people there, because there's nothing to do. If you can't get past that, people are not going to take action.
Yeah. I sometimes remind them, like, you know what, it's time to like, remember the things that you've done, like celebrate what you've done, even if it's small. And they look back and they're like, oh yeah, I have all these amazing clients. I've created this amazing program, you know, all the different things. Right. And then when they start to like celebrate the little and the bigger things, they're like, yeah, I got this. I am, you know, I can kick ass. I can do this. Right. Do you ever feel like that's something that when you can remind them, like what they've already done, where they've already come, you know, the stepping stones, that they just kind of can say, all right, here we go.
Yeah, I think for sure, remembering the how from whence they came is very helpful. Reminding themselves to celebrate and have some compassion. And then also reminding them that this is actually part of the process, that absolutely nothing has gone wrong here.
Mm. Yeah, I love that, because it's like, yep, your brain is going to do what it wants to do. You know, it's going to default to crazy, let's change, you know, or not crazy. I shouldn't say crazy, but like we can feel crazy, but like it wants to change directions, right? And just go down those rabbit holes. So,
because it feels better, it's less uncomfortable. But I mean, being from the healthcare and the physical therapy background, I'm like, y'all, you cannot build muscle without breaking it down first. You cannot build muscle and not expect to be sore and walk around like Frankenstein sometimes. It's just not how it works. And so why would it be any different in our business?
Yeah. I mean, it's like hindsight is 20/20 too, right? It's like, you know, I think about early in my business when I started and I thought, oh, everything's going to be great. Failure's not an option, you know, but now, you know, after almost 5 years, it's like, yeah, failure's pretty cool stuff, you know? And I think that, we can really look at failure as a friend, like all the things that we've been through, to see like all those stepping stones. And I think it's just like you said, it's like, it's this process that we have to go through, right? I love that phrase, that Robert Frost phrase, the only way out is through. I'm all about quotes too. They always, like whatever affirmations I can keep on post-it notes help, right? Yeah. So what it would be like the parting advice? Because we're going to wrap it up. I know you have to get going. And this has been like an awesome conversation. I'd love to keep riffing on. But like if someone is like, they want to launch, they're, you know, they're they're kind of going through some imposter syndrome stuff. They're doubting themselves. What would be like the parting piece of advice that you would give someone?
I would say to remember your mission. When we get in our feelings and it's the doubt, the confusion, the frustration, the fear, it's often because we're looking at ourselves instead of looking at the people that we can help. I think also when it comes to thinking about launching things, think about the fun that you could have. Too many of us are thinking about it like work. And I think the whole reason we left the corporate world and jobs is because we didn't want it to feel like work. So how can you make it more fun? And then the third thing that I would say is separate all of this from your worthiness. Separate whether or not you hit the launch goal. Separate whether you let yourself to rest, have rest, or give yourself rewards. Separate all of that from the goal itself and from your worthiness, because achievement, money, and worthiness are not in the same boat. And so many of us clump them together, and then we stake our whole life and our identity on whether or not we get this right, or whether or not we make a mistake, or whether or not we hit the launch goal or the revenue goal. So if you can separate that, life is going to be so much easier for you. Business is going to be so much easier and so much more fun, and you're going to want to do more of it. Mm-hmm. And the more fun you have, the more you want to do, and the more you do, the better you get. And so it just becomes this beautiful upward cycle.
The key word is fun. Right? I love that. Yes. It's so easy to forget. So where can people learn more about you, Tavana?
Yeah, I'm everywhere at Tavana Denise. That's T-A-V as in Victor, O-N-A, Denise, D-E-N-I-S-E. Instagram, Facebook, and TavanaDenise.com.
Awesome. Thank you so much. This was such a treat, Tavana, and I just really appreciate that you took the time to be here on the podcast today.
Thank you so much for having me.
Well, I hope you enjoyed that podcast episode. And I just want to close with letting you know that if you're ready to craft your podcast with confidence, I've got a free masterclass. I'm going to show you the 3 steps to get started. I'm going to help you to get out of your own way and stop creating the confusion and the overwhelm. Because all you need is a microphone and a message and a desire to make an impact. That's it. To sign up, go to caragottwarner.com/confident podcaster. And then after you watch, you'll learn the next steps for working together in my signature Confident Podcaster program. Again, it's a free class, and you can take these 3 steps and use them right away. So go to caragottwarner.com/confident podcaster. Take care, and I'll see you next time.